Amen. Well, good morning. Welcome to the Sunday morning edition of Voice of Believers Church. You know, because the Lord said we are to come together. We're not to neglect the assembling of ourselves, as some people do, especially as we see the time draw near of the Lord's return. So we can keep each other hot and on fire, because the Word, you know, because in the last days it said there would be a great falling away. And we don't want to miss it. That's why he said, keep assembling together. Keep that fire hot so we don't get left out. And then we learn to overcome and win in life. We get equipped. In fact, that's our duty. Our duty is to do the equipping and to be equipped so that we can be free. Amen. Well, I'm going to talk about prosperity. Because we want to be equipped, right? And what does prosperity mean in the Hebrew? It means shalom. Nothing missing and nothing broken. It's kind of like that song, and this is exactly what it means. Safe from all alarm, safe from trouble, not lacking any good thing. Isn't that good? That's God's plan. And I want to look at Psalm 91. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Just going to read a couple of verses. Bless you. But Psalm 91 is definitely a good time for right now. Yeah. It's a good scripture for this time. And it's a promise. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. And then you keep going, and it has promises. That's right, that we'd be free from trouble, free from harm. You know what? Some will die, 1,000 may die on one side and 10,000 on the other, but it shall not come near us. Why? Because if we're in that secret place, which is by faith, we have salvation. We have to keep ourselves in that secret place, in that place of rest, which is faith. Guess what? We can't be touched, the untouchables. We can't be touched. In fact, in 1 John 5:18, it says this. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. Because we get convicted, don't we? Because he wants us in the safe place. Because sin is a lure, it's a bait to get us into a trap. The one, we don't make a practice of sinning. God's Son holds them securely, and the evil one cannot touch them. I like it in this version, in the Berean. Oh, here it is. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one touches him not. We got to keep ourselves in that faith place, that faith zone, that shield of faith. We have to keep it going by staying in the Word, saying the Word. Because, you know, if we can pray and then we say the opposite, that's not the faith zone. Amen? Here's another one. Proverbs 28:1. This is when we're full of faith. The wicked flee and runs away, even though no one goes after them. No one's chasing them. But the godly are as bold as a lion. We are to be bold, because right now they're pumping out fear. 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 Why? Because they know if we're fear, we get paralyzed and we'll be victims. But if we're in the faith zone, we'll be bold as a lion. Isn't that true? And when we're bold, we will be free. We will stay free. So how do we do that? James 4:7. We submit ourselves to God, resist that devil, and he will flee. So we resist that fear, we stay bold, and he flees. Amen. And John 8:36, which is part of that prosperity, nothing missing, nothing broken. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. We are to keep ourselves free by keeping ourselves in the Word of God, keeping ourselves in the will of God. And I want to talk about the 4th of July for a moment. I think there was 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence. Now, the Declaration of Independence was before we won the war. They didn't know how it was going to end. When they signed it, they knew when their name was going to be recorded and written down. They sent it to the British Empire. And they did it by faith. They were risking their lives. They were risking their fortunes. They risked it all, and they didn't know how it was going to end. They did it by faith. They knew it was their duty. See, it's our duty. We have a duty to receive salvation, right? We have a duty if we want to be saved. And we have a duty to get this salvation message to others. We want to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. He laid down his life so we could be free. And God expects us to lay down our lives so others around us can be free. He wants us to be free so we can set others free. Amen? And so I'm really thankful that our founding fathers were willing to do that. Right? And so I'm glad that we're willing to do the same. And what does that have to do with tithes and offering? Everything. Why? Because it's another way where we're following after the footsteps of Jesus. Jesus tithed. Right? And it's following after the will of God. It's part of his plan. It's part of his instructions. And why? So that we can be blessed. He's not trying to take away. He's trying to get it to us. And this is the way we can be blessed even in the middle of the curse. Even in the middle. You know, because the world system is falling apart. But guess what? Those who are, God is doing it to set us free. God's not doing it. It's just that the world system is never going to stay secure. But God's system will always last. It's going to last forever. And it will always work no matter what's going on. Amen. Father God, we just come before you. We thank you, Lord, that you came to set us free. You said if we're free in Jesus, we are truly free. And Lord, we're not going to be in fear. We're going to stay in faith because it's the safe place. It's the place where we're lifted above the curse. We're lifted above trouble. I thank you for that, Lord. And so you said, you didn't say it doesn't work except for in the last days. No, you said this will last forever. Your word will last forever. Your way of doing things will last forever. And so you said when we bring our tithes and offerings to you, you open up the windows of heaven. You pour out a blessing so big there's not even room enough to take it all in. And you rebuke the devourer from touching our stuff and destroying the fruit of our ground. And all the world will call us happy and blessed. You said when we give, it'll be given back. Full measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men bring into our bosom. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the blessing. And I speak the blessing. I speak increase. All our stuff lasts longer than everyone else's, Lord. That, Lord, we're above and not beneath. We just thank you for it in Jesus' name. And all who agree say amen. Amen. That's good news, huh? Well, I'm excited because we're going to go to... if someone could pick that up. We're going to be going to Southwest Believers Convention. We're going to be leaving today, actually, and get fired back up, ready to do some writing and get built up. Laura is going to bring a message on Wednesday. And we need to make sure we let everyone know what's in the freezer so that they can eat. And anything else, we're not going to have Monday Night Recovery. And any other...
Not that I know of.
Okay, ready to hear praise word God. Of faith from my favorite pastor.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah, what Monty was talking about, the world system is, you see, it's falling apart right now. What they do, it's been falling apart, and it's really falling apart now. But the good news is, through the kingdom of God and his scriptures, if you'll do it this way, you'll be secure and taken care of in these last days. Hallelujah. And that's good news. Because why? Because Jesus is our good shepherd. And that's what we're going to talk about. Jesus, our good shepherd. Hallelujah. He is our good shepherd. Now, we talked about it last week in our foundational scripture for this. We found over there. You don't have to turn there. I don't have it on my phone. But it is over there in John chapter 10, verse 1. Doing it the old way, looking up in the Bible, you know. Here we go. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. He's leading us out, praise God. We're coming out. Who's glad of that? Who's glad we're coming out? We're coming out. Hallelujah. Coming out and going higher with Jesus. Hallelujah. To his green pastures. His green pastures. 2016 is the year of the great breaking loose. Hallelujah. I'm getting ready because I know I'm going to be doing that a bunch this week. I'm all going to get ready. When we get to Southwest Believers Convention, we're going to be doing a confessions. Hallelujah. I'm excited and ready. Glory to God. Glory to God. And then we went on and talked. Be listening. Can you hear me now? Peace from your enemies. Glory to God. Do you think I need to start over or not? I'm not. Okay. Praise God. We have peace from our enemies. And it also went to say that his mercy and goodness shall follow us all the days of our life. All the days of our life, praise God. Isn't that good news? That's good news. His mercy and grace follows all the days of our life. And then we talked about how Jesus was teaching on the sparrow and the flower, how important they were to God, but how much more important you and I are. People. Jesus was putting value on human beings, how valuable people are. And it's never been taught before. You know, revolutionary right there, mindset. And then the man interrupts Jesus, worried about his inheritance from his brother, his part of it, and fighting and fussing about money. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. And Jesus said, beware of covetousness. Beware, because it's sneaky. And get in there and get sneaky, and it'll cause you to do things that you would never thought you would do because of covetousness. So we got to be aware of that, hallelujah, and watch what we're doing. And then talked about, and how do we beware? Staying in the Word of God, getting the wisdom. We went over there to in Proverbs where it talked about wisdom is greater than silver and gold and rubies and everything else, because you could have silver, gold, and rubies, but have eternal damnation. You can be sent to hell because you have everything in the world, but you don't have your soul possessed by Jesus Christ. So it's not worth it, hallelujah. It's not worth it. So it's better off to be in the Word of God and be saved and follow the Word. That way, God will get that wisdom to you. How to get those blessings, praise God. Like, who was that? Jesse Duplantis was, God told him years ago, he said, this painting, when you see his name, you buy each and every one of these paintings. And he just obeyed the Spirit of God and bought each and every one. And then years later, that man passed away. And those paintings become worth so much, just an unreal amount of money, what they were worth. He just obeyed God. God was showing him how to prosper and be blessed. To store it up? No. I mean, God didn't want him to store it up. He just distributing it out, praise God, and seeing people get saved, healed, delivered, and set free. That's how we work this, praise the Lord, through the power of God. And I think about Jesus, our good shepherd. It don't matter where you are. It don't matter what you think about your intelligence or your mind. God wouldn't work with anyone. He can work with people that had mental problems, mental disabilities. Kenneth Copeland once was praying over a girl. She wasn't retarded. She had brain damage. And he's praying, fixing to pray for her mind to be restored and to be fixed, that part of her mind. God stopped him and said, you don't have to pray about this. You just speak to that other part of her mind and say, be healthy and whole and work and tell it to be functioning in Jesus' name. He says, man, your man alone is only working off about 10 to 12% at best. So just pray for that other 90% to believe for it to be working and functioning right. And he did. And that girl had the Spirit of God in her, was saved. And over time, she got better and better and got her mentality back and was able to think good and function just properly, praise God. That makes me think of a story about Ollie. Oh, Ollie. This actually happened in Kathy Hagin's ministry back in the early 40s. Back in the early 40s, there was no air conditioning and heating in buildings or cars or anything like that. It was World War II had just started. Ollie, and then this happened in the north central black lands of Texas, up there just north of McKinney, around Farmersville, just north of McKinney, where that church he pastored at. And Ollie was 18 years old. She was demented, had lots of problems. She was so messed up during the service, and I've seen some wild things in my service. I don't know. I guess he could handle that because her mentality. Oh, I mean, Kenneth Hagin had to preach this. She would crawl up underneath the pews and climb up at her mama's lap and fall asleep. 18 years old. Could you imagine that? That'd be driving you. Woo. I guess you'd have to stay calm and not let the distraction bother you as a pastor. And sometimes he said if there wasn't very many people in there, she'd jump up on the pews and hike her dress up. She would just yeah, I've been through things like that at the nursing home because, you know, people passing by you while you're preaching and the older folks are not all there and they're screaming and hollering, some of them are, and you got to learn to be able to function with distraction. And I learned that from Pastor Terry, my pastor. He said, you might as well get ready for it. That way you can keep on going no matter what distractions are coming. You know, other countries, you're liable to be over there, and I'm on a little rabbit trail, but I'll come back to where I was functioning there and talk about it. But he's preaching in the building and tapping on the windows with death threats. Now, that could be a little distracting, but you had to finish your job and finish the job. Praise God, and got the job done. But so here's Ollie acting like that, and World War II just started. And her mama is going to church, tithing, and following God, and the daddy just goes to bed for 4 months. He just goes to bed. Nothing wrong with him. He just don't want to go to the service. So he goes to bed. He climbed to bed and stayed there for 4 months. Now what would you do? You got a messed up daughter in her head, and the dad just climbs up in bed and stays in the bed, not going to work. So the mama went to the cotton patch, the cotton fields, and went to picking cotton. Yeah, and that blistering heat. My God. Had that burlap sack. 60 cents for 100 pounds of cotton. How many pieces of cotton would it take to get to 100 pounds? And Brother Hagin said, bowls, the little things that were in, or dirt, you can't put that in there. They'd shake that bag, kick it, knock out all that. You put that in there, keep doing that very much, they'd just fire you and get rid of you. Because, you know, that was right after the end of the Depression days. People were looking for jobs to work and everything. And so you, brother, that'd take a lot of work now to do that, out in that blistering heat like that. And just like the sun come up every Sunday, she'd bring that dollar, that tithe, to Brother Hagin. He said that was the hardest thing I ever had to do was take that dollar from that woman. Hardest thing I ever had to do was take that dollar from that woman. He goes, it was tough. He goes, but I knew if I didn't, I'd be robbing her. And so he would do it. He would do it. And she was praying and believing for her daughter and her family. And finally, Ollie got saved. And she got filled with the Holy Spirit, started getting her mind, started getting the mind of Christ, started functioning in the Word a little bit. And she meets this old country boy, and they start dating. And he asked her to marry her. Can you imagine that? Marry Ollie? He asked her so. She said yes. They got married, and he went off to the war. He fought in the war. And the whole time he was in the war, he was sending her check back to Ollie. He was sending his check back to Ollie. And she would get what? She washed her mama. She was tithing just like mama. Going to church and tithing, giving that 10%, just like mama, just as faithful as the day is long. And husband finally got out. Well, while he was there, she was sending him letters. He was asking for letters to send back and forth. And finally he told Ollie's mama, said, Mama, can you teach Ollie to write? I want a letter from Ollie. From her. And finally, they've taught her how to write her name and everything else, where she could write him and everything. And he comes back. He's out of the
the military. I don't know what armed forces he was with. And she goes, hey, with the money they had, let's buy a farm. Let's go into farming. He goes, I don't want to start no farm. I've had enough of that when I was young farming. I'm doing something different. So he bought a small trucking company hauling gravel to roads and rocks and different things like that. And it grew and grew and grew and got bigger and bigger. And next thing you know, he died in a trucking wreck. But they had a lot of insurance on him, life insurance. And she took that, and she took over the business, the as far as the accounting and finances over the business. And, you know, she was tithing and giving, and it grew and grew and grew. Then years later, Kenneth Hagin went back to McKinney, and he went into that one of the homes of the old, some of the people that would go to the church back in the 40s. He goes, whatever happened to that girl named Molly? He goes, here, come here. And they were in the city. He said, let me show you. They come out the front door, and he pointed, you see that? All that housing development, Ollie built that. Ollie built that. He says, she is a businesswoman of this community, highly respected, a pillar of that church down there. And, you know, God honored that mama's tithing and her prayers, praise God. She wouldn't give up. She wouldn't quit. She believed for her children, hallelujah. God, Jesus is our good shepherd. He's going to lead us out. It may not be in your time that you think it is, but you keep doing what's right, and you'll reap that blessing, praise God. And she reaped it, hallelujah. Let's turn over to, let me pray. I hadn't even prayed yet. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, give me a word of edification, exhortation, and comfort. Be a blessing to everyone. Give me illustration and testimonies to flow forth. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, each and everyone here and myself and everyone listening, we get wisdom, knowledge, understanding, revelation, and of your word. And Satan, we bind you up. You can't steal the word in any way in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus 3:8. Finally going to get to our scripture. Hallelujah. Exodus 3:8. Ooh, that's a little bit big. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, and a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites. Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. So he's bringing them up into a new land and out to that new land, a land of flowing with milk and honey, praise God. A large land. A large land. That's what God's will was. That's what his plan for his children were. Well, his plan hadn't changed. It's for you and me today to bring us out, to us being obedient to the word, praying in the Holy Spirit, following him every day, and seeking him, putting him first, and we're going to be brought up to that promised land, hallelujah. I'm fired up, hallelujah. Fired up in the word. Word is good. He's going to bring you out and bring you up. It's always going to be a step up. God doesn't go back. It's not going to be a step down. It's going to be a step up. It's going to be a step up. I'm going to go back to 3:8 there. I'm going to read that again. So I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I've also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Well, see, Moses was a type of deliverer, a shadow of what Jesus was coming to do. He was a deliverer and a good shepherd. He's not the good shepherd. Jesus, the good shepherd, but he was a shepherd of God's people, and God was wanting to bring him out. So he used a person to lead the way. Hallelujah! Someone that was fall after may not have been the what you thought he was supposed to be, but he was God's man to do the job. Praise God, and he brought him out. Wasn't always easy. But he did it. Hallelujah. Sometimes, you know, and we'll see through here as we get through the story of bringing them out that they are Hebrew. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a Hebrew, but you have to, you know, agree with me. Look through the Word of God, through the Old Testament. They were kind of stubborn people. They were a little bit stubborn. And sometimes they were hard to work with, but with God's help, Moses was able to work with them to bring them out. And see, God wanted to bring them out of that where they're at into just enough. Then he wants to move you on, just like us, he wants to move you on to land of plenty, those green pastures. He's our good shepherd, leading us into the good pastures. So they were in the land of lack, now in the land of slavery and poverty, lacking. They couldn't help themselves the way they need to. They didn't have enough. They sure couldn't be just satisfied with enough to make it and be, you know, in their family. And they sure couldn't help somebody else because they were in that poverty. Let's look over at Exodus chapter 4:31. 4:31. Nope, I went too far, didn't I? Well, look at there. I guess I totally missed that on my phone. We'll do it the old way. We'll look in the Bible. Even though this is the Bible on a phone, instead of technology, we'll just check it out here. Exodus 4:31. So the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked on their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. What'd they do? Bowed their heads and worship. They knew the deliverer had come. They knew this promise, just like you know the promise for you. You know the promises to that word. If you don't, you should be. In fact, I got some on that tablet in there. I'm fixing to be printing out and putting back there some more promises and more confessions of God. I'm going to be putting back there. You need to know his promises. They found a promise to come out through God's going to use a man. He's going to use Moses to bring him out. So be looking to that promise. God's going to reveal his promise to you. So it was time to worship. Oh, thank you. 400 years of bondage and now finally come out. You know the wildest thing? This is kind of off the track. It wasn't even in my teaching. I got to thinking about it. There was 2 million of them and not near as many of the Egyptians. Not near as many. Because why? I think this is my concept, is because the males were circumcised. And all the other people on the earth never was circumcised, so the women were getting diseases and problems and couldn't have children as much. But these Israeli Hebrew men were circumcised where they didn't give problems to the women so they could have children. I think that's why they grew so fast and so much. That's how they grew so fast and so much. And they outnumbered the Egyptians. They could have at any time rose up. They had the hammers in their hand making the bricks and everything else. And if they tried to stop them, they could have jumped on them and took their horses and chariots and everything away. There was more than them by far, but they didn't. That was just something I was thinking about this morning. It amazed me they didn't. All right. Let's look over to Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6. Oh, that's the reason why. It'd help if I was going the right way, wouldn't it? Now I'm going the right way. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 6, verse 6. Therefore, say to the children of Israel, I'm the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of Egypt. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you from with an outstretched arm, with great judgment. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brings you out from under the burdens of Egypt. And I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. We want that heritage of the Lord, don't we? We want our heritage of the Lord, don't we? Yes, we want our heritage. We have a heritage, praise God. We have that promised land. We can't let anything ensnare us or hold us back. We got to be obedient to the Holy Spirit and to the Word of God and be focused and be ready. Be ready to do what he tells us to do. He He's bringing us out and giving us an heritage. Verse 9 said this. So Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel, but they did not heed Moses because of the anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. Now they don't want to listen. Here they are, anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. What happened to all the worshiping? God's going to bring them out and bring them up. What happened to the worshiping? They didn't want to worship no more because the Egyptians had laid more bondage on. They had to make the bricks without the straw, and it was harder work. Well, guess what happened? The devil attacked. While God was working on, they were thinking it was going to come on Monday. We're coming out on Monday. We're coming out on Monday. We're going to go get out of here, and we're going to be free on Monday, and this might have been Sunday. Guess what? They didn't give God time to get the job done. And you got to keep on praising God no matter what's going on till God brings you out. Because as soon as you're coming out of something, whether it's sin or some big breakthrough's coming through, the devil's going to use other things to try to slow you down or to cause problems, cause anguish of spirit. So we can't let him pop up in any other area or slow us down. We got to keep giving God praise for the victory. Thank God the children of Israel had a good shepherd, which is Jesus or God, and Moses, who was the shepherd before the children of Israel. He had 40 years of, just think, he had 40 years of learning how to be a shepherd. He shepherded the sheep, how to take care of them. So he had some skills in it. And then so here they are. They're getting ready to come out. The 10 plagues pass. Egypt, the greatest nation in the world, is destroyed. Completely destroyed. There's nowhere in North America continent, South America continent, Africa, across Europe, Australia. I don't even know if there's any people inhibiting there. Maybe those people in those jungles or whatever on there might have been inhibiting at that time. The Romans weren't there yet. You know, Britons hadn't sent the exiles there yet. And you had other continents there, Asia and different things. Egypt was the richest one. This is about 3,000 years ago. The richest nation in the world, the strongest, most powerful. Plundered. The last plague, the 10th plague, was the eldest child died. The male child passed away, died. And the males, females, were breaking off their earrings, giving it to the children of Israel, get out of here, go. They completely just took everything when they left. You know, silver, gold, jewelry, whatever they had, fine silk, everything they had, they just sent them with them. Just go. You people, just leave us. You're a burden to us. And they wanted to get rid of them. They were finally coming out, praise God. They were coming out of lack into just enough. But then here they are. They cross the Red Sea, and you know, Moses holds up the staff and the sea parts, and they're crossed it. And they get on the other side, and Moses climbs the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. And what do? Take some of the golden and make a golden calf. They want to see the old worldly way of Egypt was still in them, hadn't got out of some of them. A lot of them died right there when Moses come down, threw down those Ten Commandments on stone and had to go get more. And thank God Aaron didn't die through all that. But like I said, they were kind of stubborn people. That's what Moses had to work with. But you know what? He's going to get the job done. It might take a few years, but he's going to get the job done. So now they're out into the desert. They're headed to the promised land. You and I were headed to a promised land. And guess what? They finally got to the part where they finally fall on God. Their clothes are not wearing out. Their shoes are not wearing out. They got manna in the morning. They got the quail at night. They have their every need is being finally met. They're finally getting somewhere with God. Hallelujah. Finally following God. So God used Moses to lead them out of Egypt and into the wilderness. And like I said, they're just starting to get just enough. Let's look over Numbers 13. So that's the same thing he's doing with us. I don't know where you are exactly, but he'll lead you out of poverty if you'll start doing his word and following his words, his instructions. And you'll get into just enough, then you'll get in, if you'll keep doing it, you'll finally get to the place where you'll have more than enough where you can be a blessing to others. And land it, then it'll keep going, get more and more of a blessing. Numbers 13, verse 28. Let me see. No, excuse me. Numbers 13, chapter 13, verse 1. I tricked you. I'm sorry. I have to scribble that out. Numbers 13, 1 and 2. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I give in the children of Israel, from each tribe of their fathers, and shall send a man, everyone, a leader among themselves. So Moses sends out the 12. The problem with 10 of the spies is they went to see what they could do. 10 of the spies went to Jericho and looked across the land, checking it all out, and they went to see what they can do. They went to see what they can do in their power, right? You can't do it in your power if you're going to do the things of God, to go to a new faith level, to go to your green pastures. Instead, you got to go there. They should have went like the other two, which is Joshua and Caleb, and they go to see what God is giving them, the land of plenty. And then you make your plan how to take that land, how you take that promise. You got to make your plan how to take that promise land, praise God. That's what they should have done. Instead, they were looking at how, those 10 were looking at how they were going to do it. And they got scared and got in fear. Can't do it. Can't look at your abilities, because none of us are able to do the things, the great things of God, what he wants us to do. Hallelujah. Look at verse 28 of the same chapter. 28. Verse 28. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak in there. There were some big old dudes there, I guess. The Amalekites, and I've heard of those too, dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Well able to overcome. What was the tone of Caleb's voice? It was courage. It was courage. Courage in God. God's going to help us. God's going to help us do it. We're going to take that step of faith. You're not a risk taker. I'm not a risk taker. We're a faith taker. We take it by faith. It's not no risk when you do what God tells you to do and you do it by the word of God. We're faith takers, hallelujah. Faith takers. Just like the church, the Voice of the Believer Church. Faith taking. That's all that was. It was fall of 2011. The Lord put it on my spirit, Monica's spirit, that we're a church, to start a church. He actually told me in my quiet time, he said, if you'll start it, I'll build it. I said, well, thank God. I don't have to build it. I don't have to go out and, you know, go try to build this thing. And that took a lot of pressure off me right there. So we went to look, and I looked at a church in Pittsburgh, and that didn't go out so good. I mean, it was too wild for me. I mean, it was wild. And people just falling on the floors. I mean, I've fallen on the floors under the power of God, and I can tell when the Spirit of God hits you, but when you're taking up an offering and you're just walking along and you just go to rolling all over the place and some woman's preaching and trying to take control of the church and jumping all over the place, and it's just too much fanaticalism and too much emotion that was just wild acting. And just, I went and preached there on a Sunday evening, and I was staring at, when we were done preaching, Monica and I were looking at 12 people that were in charge of the church, and I'm like, I'll never be able to get done what God called me to do, because they're all going to be in control of me. And my pastor said, don't do it, Lyle. Don't do it. You got to start be in a church that God can work your vision and your promised land, what God's called you to do. I said, yeah, you're right, pastor. So I had to be patient instead of just jump in there and take a church that already had members in it, because I started a church and didn't have members. Really. So I had to be calm. And I waited. And finally, Monica and I were looking. We thinking about how we were going to do it. We talk it over, discuss the plan, and pray. And finally, up on the square, we found the best building. That was Brother Lanny Ramsey's building and his old law office building. and it had one bathroom, and we could turn it into what we needed to do. And I was just happy to be in the will of God anyway. I didn't care. I'm just glad that God's doing something. I could see me going forward, praise God, and taking that faith step. So we signed the lease for 6 months, $500 a month. January the 1st was on a Sunday morning. Had a first service, praise God, and took off. Me and the kids, we wired up the sound system up on the wall. We done everything we had to do to get it all going. Chairs, Trinity Baptist Church donated the chairs, everything. It was pretty neat how it all worked out. And about a month and a half, 2 months later, this facility opens up. Now we got two bathrooms. I'm so glad to finally get two bathrooms, a male and female, and a fellowship hall, a real one, with everything that you need, and a baptismal, and all the things that we need, praise God. And God's been faithful, hallelujah. He's been faithful, taking in that green pasture, hallelujah, leading us out and leading us into something better. Brother, like I said, Brother Lanny, Ramsey, he shut down there for 2 months. He said, I told you that if you find a different place, we just nullify this lease. So he did. Wrote me a piece of paper. It was nullified. And that was it. Praise God. And here we are. Faith taken. That's what we want to be. But it takes courage in the Word. Then take courage in yourself. Don't be like the 10 spies and look at your own ability. Look at the Word's ability and what God told you to do. What God's told you to do. Let me see here. Let's look over at Numbers 14:4. 14:4. So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. So they all, here they are. They didn't go into the land of plenty. They're back to the land of just enough. And they get mad at Moses. And they want to select a leader and return to Egypt. They want to go back to the world. Go back to the world. Go backwards. And that's not God's way. Do you know what happened to all those that generation? They all fell out in the desert. 40 years they fell out until God, except for Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb stood on a faith confession for 40 years. And we want to worry about standing on a faith confession about what we're believing for a year or two? They stood on for 40 years believing they were going to go in that promised land. So, hey, don't give up and don't quit on what God's given you to do. Don't give up and don't quit. Praise God. Stand on that faith confession, what you believe. Stand on the Word of God. Be confessing it. Hallelujah. So they're ready to go back to the world because... And they've seen so many miracles. I mean, true prosperity. We're talking about out there where Moses struck the rock and the water, fresh water came out and they drank in the middle of the desert. Great miracles, signs and wonders. They're getting fed supernaturally. And, I mean, $1 billion couldn't have helped him in that kind of situation. That's true prosperity when you got God on your side. When you got God on your side, it's true prosperity. Water in a desert, fresh water, praise God, when you need it to feed 2 million people. You need it, praise God. That's a lot of people. Or to give 2 million people a drink, praise God. So you need it. God's teaching them. So that they fell off and the new ones came in, praise God. And thank God they were able to, going to be able to take it. Let's look over at Joshua chapter 1. We'll find out the ones that take it. Like I said, Joshua is standing on a faith confession. Remember this. For 40 years. He's still saying we're going to take the land. Can we please stand on our confessions and not go against them for a long time? Because no matter what it looks like or how long it takes, don't give up and don't quit. Because Joshua and Caleb finally made it in. Chapter 1, verse 2. Caleb, he was 80 years old. He was 40 when that happened. He was 45. I think it's 45. He was 85. Caleb, and he said, you remember Joshua? That what we said and that we would take the land, he reminded Joshua because he was the leader at that time, and he took Moses' place, and he said that I want the land of the Ephraims up there in the mountain. So he took his land, praise God, old Caleb did. All right, let's look at verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. Now Joshua had a monumental task in front of him, following Moses after all these miracles. But God's fixing to give him the keys to this. He just laid out the vision, what you're going to do. So you got your vision, you got your dream. You're fixing to get your keys how to get your dream. All right, here we go. Look at verse 6 through 9. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. You notice he had to say it twice? Yeah, you're facing this, whatever you're going through right now. Be strong and be courageous, whatever you're going through. Don't give up. Lean on the word. You'll overcome whatever you're going through right now. That you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commands you. Do not turn from the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Uh-oh, here we go. This book of the law, talking about the word of God, shall not depart from your mouth. There's our confessions, confessing the word of God. But you'll meditate on day and night. When? Day and night. Morning, before you go to bed, during the day, be confessing on the word of God. Then you observe to do according to what's written in there. You'll be able to actually do what it tells you to do. You're never going to be able to do it like this. Okay. And then taking it down. You're taking your shield down if you put it down and quit looking at it daily and studying it and meditating on it and confessing it. You have to be doing it and staying in it daily, because you're never going to be able to finish what God's called you to do without staying in it, praise God. Especially depends on how big it is. The bigger it is, the more you're going to have to be doing it, praise God, whatever you're called to do. So we're staying in it. We're doing what it tells us to do. For then you'll make your ways prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Good success. And that goes across the board for your own dreams and wherever for what God's given you. And your vision God's given you, and your gifting talent. And it includes the nation here in America, what Monica's talking about, for our nation being taken back, and us Christians using the word of God to take it back and do our confession. It's across the board even in that, praise God. That's our green pastures. We want to see our nation doing great. So this is our nation. We want to see it green pastures here, praise God. Hallelujah. So we keep on confessing the word. We keep on praying and believing. We get involved. Monica and I went to the a couple of Monday nights ago, to the school board meeting. You know, wherever God's leading you to get involved. I mean, we need Christians in the school board, the sheriff, the city council, chamber of commerce, the county commissioners. They make a lot of choices for the people, too. All the way up. That's local. All the way up. We need judges. We need them in there, praise God. So this is our place. This is our faith zone by doing the word. What did Paul say? We're talking about going, Jesus being our good shepherd, taking care of him. None of these things moved me. None of them moved him. He just kept doing the will of God. I mean, they put him, man, in chains. They would beat him. Thank God we ain't going through that. No matter what he went through, he kept on doing the will of God, praise God. He kept on following God. Look over at Psalms 27. I heard of a pastor that just passed away in China, I believe it was. He was killed for the word of God and for Jesus. Psalms 27, verse 13. I would have lost heart unless I had believed. I would have lost heart unless I had believed. What you're going to see is a lot of people that are, their heart, didn't the Bible say over in Revelation, man's heart would be failing man's heart would be failing at this end time. They're going to be in such fear. But we believe. Thank God we believe in God's goodness and the God taking care of us in this time. That I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. To be patient. That's what the children of Israel should have been doing in Egypt. Pray, kept on praising, no matter what was going on around them. Kept on doing the word. That's what we have to do. Keep on following the word of God. Do what's right. Look at Reinhard Bonnke. I mean, taking a man that was given a vision, and it's a major vision. He had a major vision. Born in Germany, raised a Christian family, went to Africa, started an evangelistic association, the Reinhard Bonnke Evangelistic Association. Started off with a tent, preaching to the different nations, because there, you know, there's many different nations in that continent of Africa. It's not just one big nation. And he would go to the ones that the God led him to, and start seeing souls won back in the early 80s, 90s, into 2000. By the, he started off, and next thing you know, he's got 19, 18-wheelers. They have a tent that'll hold like 40,000 people. He finally outgrew that and got where he just had to do open-air services with lights out there and speakers throughout the land and be preaching. And I'm talking about people getting saved, people getting healed, you know, parts growing back on them. Supernatural miracles will happen in this man's ministry. Parts growing back on people being restored, you know, miracles and blind seeing. All kinds of great miracles are happening, praise God. Those people over there don't have a doctor to go to or anything, even though a doctor, most of them can't help blindness, but God was restoring blindness, making them, they were seeing, because he was using his faith. He was seeing his vision. He seen his vision and his calling, and he knew he couldn't do it, but he knew a God that could. He knew the word of God to stay in it, and he started seeing it more and more. And then finally, by 2000, I think it was, he had one service by that time that like 3 million people showed up over a 2 or 3 day period, and over 1 million people got saved, wrote down confirmation, and handed to the counselors of the churches in that area to go to, praise God. Over 1 million people in a one meeting, praise God. And the last count I heard, it was between 70 and 80 million people been saved in that ministry. Now, he's here in America, and his protege, Daniel Coletta, is actually staying in Africa, still preaching over there where God's leading him, a young man. And Reinhard Bonnke's here, even though Daniel comes here sometime. But Reinhard's staying here. He said, America shall be saved. The Lord told me America's going to be saved. Praise God. America's going to be saved. Got a vision, doesn't he? And that man won't quit. He won't quit, and I'm not going to quit neither. I'm going to stand with him. And God's doing great miracles. He'll do the same thing for you. If you won't quit, keep confessing the word, meditating on it, and acting on it, praise God. Don't quit. Don't quit. We got our two choices of legacies here. And I think of like ORU, what a legacy Oral Roberts left. His university, and that you're seeing doctors and nurses going out to other countries, not only being able to, you know, fix and sew people up, not only being able to maybe take out an appendix or mend the bones or whatever else, these are medical doctors, but also be able to pray for them and bring them the word of God and see salvations, and lawyers coming out of there, and I think even computer design, you know, the computer people that work through computers and things like that, and programmers. He had, I think he has gone through that college, some that go into filming and movies and things, you know, Christian movies and stuff. So done great things. What a legacy. So we're going to leave one or two legacies. The price is too high, and we played it safe. And another generation is going to have to take up where we left off if we're too afraid. Or we're going to take the opportunity that came our way and step up in faith. That way the next generation will be thanking us because we took courage. We need to step up and take courage, praise God. So, Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for everyone here. Jesus, you're a good shepherd. I pray that everyone steps up and take courage, Lord. And like I said at the beginning, we'll lay aside any sin or any weight, repent of any of them that's been holding us back, and we'll go forward, Lord, and we'll love, and we'll forgive, and we'll go after this dream. We'll follow this dream because you're a good shepherd. You want us to lead us to that green pastures, Lord, and I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you, Lord, just illuminated in our our spirit show us what it is, what you want us to do, and guide us to that promised land, to that promised land, and that we just obedient to you and your word. And thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now, anybody that's listening through CD or voiceofthebelieverschurch.com, voiceofthebelieverschurch.org, excuse me, and you say, whoo, a good shepherd. That sounds good to me right about now. You might be down in the, just got done getting drunk or high or whatever, and you might have lost your wife or lost your husband, and they left you or whatever. Whatever your problem that you've been through. And you might have been no problem, but you said, I want this good shepherd that can have some help here in this earth and have eternal life in heaven. You want that. And you say, well, I tell you right now, all you got to do is pick you up a Bible and look over there in Romans 10:9-10 and see that Jesus said that if you believe in your heart, your spirit man, that he died on the cross and raised back to the right-hand side of the Father, and you ask him in, the Bible says you'll be saved. That's a promise of God. Promise. And Luke 11:13 says that you can ask the Father to fill you up with his Holy Spirit, and he'll do it. He'll give you his very best, his precious Holy Spirit, to be a best friend all your life, a built-in best friend. If you want that, and you say, hey, I want this, well, just all you got to do is pray this along with me. Say, I see the word, and I want you, Jesus, come in my heart. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and raised back to the right-hand side of the Father. I ask you to fill me up with your Holy Spirit. Yes, wall-to-wall Holy Ghost to guide me and show me the way to go. Give me my prayer language. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for, and you can find prayer language over there in Acts chapter 1, verse 2. I mean, yeah, Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. And it talks about how you can receive your prayer language. And you say, hey, you want that? You can believe for that while you're getting filled with the Holy Spirit. And show me your will for my life, Jesus. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that you are my good shepherd. Let me live for you. Show me that vision. Show me that vision for my life. Show me my gifts and callings and your will for my life. And let me go after that. Let me go after that and to use me for your glory. Use me for your glory. In Jesus' name. Just as simple as that. You just asked him to use you for your life. Humbling yourself to him. Now, if you've done that, you've asked Jesus in your heart and got filled with the Holy Spirit and asked him to give you your prayer language and you're speaking in tongues, and he'll do those things. He'll show you what he wants you to do in his life. Just get in his word. Get in his word. Start over there in the Matthew and start reading. Start reading. Then go over to start reading through the New Testament, get it read, then start the old and new together then, and just keep on reading it daily, night and day, and find you a good Bible-believing church that uses faith, and get in there and get in a group of believers that'll love you and encourage you in the Word of God, how to use your faith. And when you've done that, send us a prayer request on voiceofbelieverschurch.org. It's got the prayer request. Click on that link. Tell us about your salvation. And Mike and I will be praying for you in church. We'll tell them. And we'll be lifting you up. And get in there and get plugged in so you can live that life of faith and victory in Jesus' name. That's all you got to do. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for everyone here and everyone that's listening. By different media, I say that we're the head, not the tail. We're the lender, not the borrower. We're blessed coming in, blessed going out, blessing the city, blessing the field. When Satan comes at us one direction, he'll flee from us seven, because he is in us. The Holy Spirit is greater than he that's in this world. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Nothing deadly will hurt us. No weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against us in judgment shall be condemned. We owe no man anything except to love one another. Our God supplies all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We give and speak given to us, good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over, shall men give in our bosom. For the same measure we meet with all us, be measured us again. Beloved, I pray above all things thou mayest prosper, be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Though 1,000 fall at one side and 10,000 on the right hand, nothing deadly will come near us. No plague or disease will come near our dwelling. With a long life he satisfies. Thank you, Lord, for a long, healthy life. Lord, we take every thought captive under the obedience of Jesus Christ. casting down any and all thoughts that exalt itself against Jesus. Thoughts of worry, fear, doubt, unbelief, discouragement, heaviness, depression, condemnation, or just that worry that they just sitting there, the buzzing in our mind. We say, no, you can't sit there and just agitate us in the mind. Satan, you get out of our mind, you go in Jesus' name. Plead the blood of Jesus of our mind. We're going to have peace of our mind in Jesus' name. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and revelation of your word. Satan, we just say you go in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that bring us those people that need you, Jesus, need to be saved, that we can minister to those, the word of God and the love of Jesus, and those that are already saved, that bring us those that need to hear the word of faith, need their faith built up, need to learn how to be overcomers. Anyone that's down or hurt, been hurt by the church, been kicked around, bring us those that we can show them the word that, you know, that Satan come to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to give you life and give them more abundantly. We can help bless them and give them the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All be healthy, whole, and healed, praise God. Blessed, blessed. Blessed coming in, blessed going out. Blessing the city, blessing the field. Blessed wherever you go, praise God. You are released. Anybody has any prayers, come on up. We'll believe.